You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major Seventh. The crew is here. Alone is, you all right, man?
I was just making sure your mic was plugged in.
Okay. All right. Appreciate you. Yep. Appreciate you. My man Jay Moore is in the building. I see you over there, Crispy, sir. How are you today?
You know, just another day, another dollar. You know how we do.
See you getting to that paper.
No, I mean, I'm not really getting to the paper. You know, I throw more assists than I do score.
Okay.
Me too.
So, you know, I try to make sure that, you take care of the people eventually take care of you.
That's actually wisdom. Longevity, how are you, sir?
Better than yesterday, but doing all right.
I like that one.
Yeah, you know.
Seems honest.
It's what I aim for. Yeah. Doing all right, yeah.
Good.
We going to linger on it?
No, I'm coming. I'm moving on. My man DJ J. Dib. What's happening, man?
Salutations, what's good?
You good?
Yep.
All right, good to see you, brother.
Indeed, man, indeed.
Hey, they don't know it, but we was having a little Yachty conversation, man, about that Yachty singing. Pretty funny, man.
Hey, man.
You do a nice impression.
That auto-tune is great.
Well, not for everybody.
You got it together, man.
You said you liked instrumentals more than the project, though, right?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty good project, but the auto-tune is just extra.
Yep.
That's all I'm
saying. I could do without the vocals. The instrumental album probably fire, though.
If you actually sit there and listen to the whole thing, because I don't think you listened to the whole thing, did you?
I tried. I got through, how many joints on there?
I don't know. The ending is better than the beginning of it, though.
Maybe that's why I'm tripping. Because I didn't make it. Yeah. I have to go back and revisit and get all the way to the end then.
Cool. No, it's not bad, man, but it's like...
Did you get to the end, Long?
It's not critically acclaimed like everybody's saying.
I don't know why I was feeling generous with my time today, but I actually clicked on
what a way to start.
Four different Yachty songs.
Yeah.
So I don't know the order of them. I don't know what the names of any of them are. The first one did not have any vocals at all, and it was a spectacular instrumental.
See?
The other three, I could... No.
No.
Not for me. I think people were hyping it up, man. I think...
Well, they give it's an A for effort for wanting to make good music, man. Like, that's where we are.
That's cool. As
opposed to what he was doing before this project, he was just...
Y'all leave him alone. He's trying to make good music. That's what I've been hearing.
The prevailing thought?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, like, I kind of like... Because a lot of people have said, like, on the internet especially, just like, yeah, it's... You know, it's actually a really good, this type of project. So I kind of went into it. Maybe it was even Terry. I don't know. Maybe Terry actually got me. Because Terry said, you said that you kind of like it a little bit. You don't mind it. But so I went into it and I listened to it kind of with the, kind of expecting that I was going to like it a little bit. And the three or four songs I liked didn't really do it for me. But there was rapping on them too. I didn't expect to hear him rapping, I guess. So I didn't, I thought he was just like doing his vocal harmony type stuff. But
I don't know, man. It's
it's not for me. But
yeah,
I get you.
But do your thing, man.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to hate.
There you go.
Do you, brother?
Just give out your opinion. Yeah, just give your opinion alone. That's all. That's cool. Give your opinion.
My opinion doesn't matter, for the record. You know, I don't think my opinion matters. But
you might need to be lifted a little bit to enjoy it a little more.
Oh, yeah, lifted.
I mean, because it's kind of psychedelic, even.
I've been pretty sober for a while. Yeah. So.
But that's the thing. We talked about this on maybe 200 episodes ago, where I was like, "Look, man, don't tell me like, if you was on this, this would make the music so much better."
Yeah. And I'm not saying that I was
right. I'm just saying it's funny. People was like, "Oh man, when did you listen to the album?" I was like, "At home at night." Oh man, if it was the daytime and you was on a boat and you had had
right work, past dawn
and you had had, a little something to enhance the experience, oh, that'd be the best album. And I was like, I'm not trying to do all that. Like, I'm at home, but I'm just trying to be at home. I don't want to hear all this.
What you trying to turn me into just to listen to his album, fam? Let's start with the homie Lil Duval, who actually said something that I agree with. And the headline reads, Lil Duval thinks hip-hop has become more about podcasting instead of music. His quote is, "Seems like hip-hop has become more about podcasting, obviously, instead of music," he tweeted. But the response is what I want to read, where it says, a guy responded and said, the conversations I think he meant to say, are just better than music. 90% of the songs are made in 15 minutes with no thought put into them. It's microwave raps. And another one says, everybody's just trying to make a way for themselves. Got to respect the hustle. So there's some people that respect the hustle, and there's others that are pretty much saying, you know, it's the microwave generation, and that's why, you know, a lot of these rappers are trying to find relevancy. Now, if you guys saw Joe Budden's podcast, Nori was just on, and he really was going in on all of the rappers that, it was all subliminals, but he's like, rappers from our era now are, they're irrelevant, so now they're going to comedy. That's T.I. He says, some of them are starting podcasts, they'll do 6 episodes, and then it's dead, and they go to some other trash content. Then they start cooking. That's Trick Daddy. You know what I'm saying? So they're talking about all these rappers that are jumping into the podcast game versus the music. What do y'all think about this comment? Because I actually agree. I think Fat Joe had a podcast for that lasted, what, about 2 or 3 months?
Doesn't he still do it?
I don't know if he still does Coca Vision, the one where he had, it was kind of in a...
just like an Instagram Live thing.
Instagram Live.
Yeah.
Just talking. Maybe I'm tripping. I thought Coca Vision was an actual show. Maybe it was just IG Live. I stand corrected.
I could be wrong. I don't know.
I stand corrected. But I haven't seen it anymore.
I've never seen an actual produced show that Joe has done.
Not me either.
Instagram.
Okay. Fair enough.
At least me. Yeah.
But what do y'all think about this in terms of, you know, him just saying a lot of these rappers is flooding into the podcast game instead of focusing on their music?
I don't think that's a real thing.
You don't think so?
I think there are some, I mean, because everyone you named is somebody who's, you know, whose career started like 20 something odd years ago.
Okay.
You know, if you're talking about these new rappers, like, no, they still doing shows and getting money. They ain't got time for no podcast.
Are there any rappers in this generation that
have the only person you can consider, and he's not a rapper, is Academics.
No.
That's exactly what I was going to say too, to his point.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people in the podcast realm are older rappers that are not getting money in the rap game like that, so they've moved on to podcasting.
Okay.
I mean, essentially you're supposed to figure out another, not even hustle, but passion, or so to speak, in order to stay afloat, especially if your music wasn't doing it for you.
Yeah, so
everybody has one.
But it's not just
rap. I mean, we can name a handful of people that, and plus, like, the whole, I think he's also talking about how everybody thinks, oh, I'm going to get a podcast. We've all heard it before.
People, oh, we definitely have. We definitely have.
When we say, oh, we do a podcast, people are like, oh, yeah, I want to do a podcast. And then they do one, and it's like, they realize they're not going to get sponsored by Mercedes-Benz and Coca-Cola after 5 episodes, and then they just drop it.
I just want to talk to people.
That's exactly what Nori, obviously, you know, you not verbatim, but that's exactly what he was saying. That was his point. They started, do 3 or 4, and it's like, oh.
But that's not just limited to hip-hop. Everybody,
I think that's everybody.
Because
like I said,
people do. I mean, Travis and his brother, the Kelsey brothers.
Oh, yeah.
They got
a
podcast.
CJ McCollum got a podcast.
Right. At one point, what's his name?
Current players.
Plays for the Warriors.
Oh, Draymond still does his. Pat Bev got one.
I mean, the podcast space is just wide open right now.
So you guys are saying
people are just now getting hip to wanting to produce their own podcast until they figure out all the work they have to do. I mean, we've talked about that in the past before.
So you guys are saying it's unfair to strictly just point it towards hip hop. It's more across the board.
It's across the board. Everybody wants to do a podcast until they actually have to do a podcast.
Right.
What you think, Long?
Well, I think it goes, I mean, the landscapes have changed in the last handful of years, mm-hmm. and this is something that I've said many times, that if you want to be a musician in 2023, you have to marry your music with your content, and podcasting is a way to do that. So mm-hmm. Everything is content. You can't just...
Sure is.
You have to have a way to, you know, put your stuff out there, whether it be podcasting or YouTubing or social TikTok. Media to some degree. You have to do that. Most people have to do that unless you're one of the 1%.
Yeah, I mean.
So, I mean, it's just a means to an end.
It's the way new media works. It just is. Like, you can't just say, I'm going to. Like, it's kind of like if you wanted to be a rapper today, say you wanted to really go full on. If you're a rapper and you don't have social media, and you'd be like, no, I'm not trying to do all that. Okay, you better be ready to do all that.
You've got to.
It's not going to work. It's not an option.
It's not an option. So unless, again, you're one of the 1% or you have big backers or something like that. You know what I mean?
You're just that talented.
You know, you can't say, oh, I'm too old. You know, the Temptations have an Instagram account. You know, the
Outkast has a TikTok.
Yeah.
They haven't had an album in 20 years.
You know, the Whispers have a TikTok. There are people, there are one hit wonders who have social media and are using that social media to say, okay, here, come see, and not to get on them, but they're one hit wonder. Come see Moke and Steph this weekend at the South Carolina State Fair.
JJ Fad just made a post. People gonna show up. JJ Fad just made a post because they weren't invited to the 50 hip hop or whatever that happened at the Grammys.
Yeah, a lot of people weren't invited.
Exactly.
They said, like LL Cool J literally said, we couldn't invite everybody.
Willie D was mad.
Yeah, I mean, but
he had representation.
Yeah.
But I don't know if everybody has a podcast. The thing is it's not hard to start a podcast. Mm-mm. You literally just have to go and pay $18 in a month and then upload it and it gets taken care of for you. Now,
the problem is the content.
If people have a podcast that lasts longer than 10 episodes, then I would say, okay, you know, but I don't know. I think people are just trying stuff and we're in a space right now where we can try stuff. You know, I feel like media online is finally kind of caught up to where like, it's not just big corporations that own everything, even though it is big corporations that own everything, mm-hmm. but there's at least an avenue to where there's less middlemen in that aspect. So I don't know. The only rappers that I can think of that have podcasts are like Noriega, Talib has a talk show.
Willie D. And Scarface.
I didn't even know they had one. But
theirs is pretty good, too.
But I think it's... I think we're also into a space now that there's so much media. I mean, we have witnessed this in real time. We've talked about it, how, you know, sometimes it's hard to listen to music. And, you know, when you're bombarded with so much music that drops every second, sometimes it's annoying.
Overwhelming.
It gets to be super overwhelming to have to listen to music all the time. And so sometimes you can pass that time, especially in our attention deficit culture, that okay, well, what are we going to fill it with? Well, either silence or maybe just somebody talking, mm-hmm. you know. And so I feel like it's just a means to an end. So that's just kind of how I feel about that. But
no, so I long story long, I disagree with Duvall. You know, I mean, it was a hot take, and that's what he's known for. But you know, I think it's just all about understanding new media, understanding that you have to marry your, like I said, with long sale, your art with your content, you know, and your content may not particularly be art, but you know, if you're not willing to put in the work, if you're not willing, like there, I can't remember this. There are places you need to go now. If you're willing to, if you want to promote your upcoming, album release, TV show, whatever they are not the traditional outlets. You know, you got to go sit down with Math Hoffa, or go to the Joe Budden show, or go to the Breakfast Club, even though that's more traditional media, but because their presence is so strong outside of New York on YouTube, because that's where I see all the interviews. I don't ever listen. I'm never up early enough to listen to the Breakfast Club.
There's competitors for what used to be the Breakfast Club has always been a staple, or a Hot 97, but now that's Joe Budden might be just as impactful. Matt Hoppe, the same thing.
Definitely. But the thing is it used to be like, oh, you're not really a star until you get invited on the Tonight mm-hmm. Show mm-hmm. or whatever show CBS has, you know, get on Good Morning America. Those shows are nice. They do reach a certain demographic. But now you got to think, okay, if I have a rollout, I need to go sit down with the Breakfast Club, Hot 97. Then I need to go to Joe Budden. I need to, if I'm hip hop, sit down with Math Hoffa. You know, and there might be some other, you know, depending on what you're trying to do, sit down with DJ Academics. I mean, I know we clown him, but he has an audience and they have influence over what happens in the marketplace. And so
I ain't saying that.
We're just saying that, you know, the way people did it 25, 30 years ago is not the way to do it now. Like there was a show that I remember liking that came on Fox a couple years ago now, but none of those people who were on that show went to the Breakfast Club. And the Breakfast, I mean, not that they were looking for him or whatever, but I'm like, I didn't see any of these people try to do what I would consider traditional, non-traditional media. You know, if they were waiting to get invited on Stephen Colbert and they never got an invite, then they didn't promote the show on there. But now if you have some new show, you better get out here and you better make these connections. Even for as much flack as he gets, you know, I see Stevie, not Stevie Wonder, but we just talked about Smokey Robinson sit down for an incredible interview on Vlad TV. And you know what? There's probably no reason. Smokey probably not thinking about talking to Vlad if he didn't have Gasms hitting the store soon. You know, but someone knew, hey, this guy, he gets more views on his videos than he would get if you went and sat down with Stephen Colbert. You need to go over here and talk to him.
Well, it's just so like you can what
be
you
a
said.
Part, so you can be a part of the news cycle for 2 and 3 weeks as he puts out 2 or 3 minutes of content on you per day.
It's just like what you said with the rollout. Like somebody told him you need to go do Vlad. We was just laughing about
Vlad. Like that article that I read from, that was in Bossip. You don't think Bossip is regularly covering whatever Smokey Robinson is doing? Somebody on his team was smart enough and is like, look, we need to do this in addition to this.
Smokey's not going to Vlad if he ain't have what is it, Gasm? He ain't have Gasms come out. I don't see Smokey sitting down with Vlad. I mean, I like the comment that Cool the Playmaker said is when he talked about the conversation is just better. 90% of the songs are made in 15 minutes. I think that's actually accurate from a mainstream standpoint.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Because I think I like the conversations myself. Conversations to me on podcasts are becoming more entertaining than the music that I hear. Like I like actually listening to, you know, when they have OGs that have certain stories that I haven't heard, especially Math. Math has been doing a great job.
Well, that's because they're talking to people whose music that you actually enjoyed. Well, so it's almost like you're still listening to that old music that you enjoy because they're talking to the artists that you enjoy.
I think that would be fair if I hadn't seen other interviews with people like Lil Baby that I thought was dope. Some of the younger artists that sit down and talk, like the conversations, even hearing them talk outside of the music that they put out, like that's just become a little bit more interesting is all I'm saying. But I feel what you're saying because there's always going to be nostalgia attached to it.
Well, no,
right? you can't I can't avoid that. So that's, he's right. Like I'm capping if I say, I mean, that's certain not a part
people,
of it.
Some people do have really cool interviewing styles.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Boosie's one of them. I mean, he does.
But I mean, from like, I'm like an interviewer standpoint, you know, like there's a reason why Joe Rogan is as big as he is.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? It's, and certain people, Lex Friedman, you know, in that space and, you know, There are just reasons. Some people are just really, really good at it, too.
I think that's one of the reasons I like Mass Podcast, because he does a great job of controlling the situation, but also staying out of the way. It's a good balance.
He does a good job.
The guests can talk. They can get their thoughts out and complete them. He's not jumping in every other sentence. He's not.
Are you talking about someone in particular?
No.
Put a name on that thing. Just go ahead and say Nori.
No, not just Nori, but Vlad is a trash interviewer to me as well.
No, I would like, no. He's not. It
I think he's
on the,
trash.
It depends, no, he's not a trash.
He talks about himself more than the artist. Like he talks to himself when during all the videos.
No,
because
it depends
that.
On who he's talking to and what he's talking about.
He's a good
like
interrogationist.
Like, there are people who like, I know people don't like him, but like I remember like, you know who was an excellent interviewer, but doesn't get the credit for being a great interviewer? Was Arsenio Hall.
I was just
love Arsenio.
Arsenio is an incredible. He was an incredible interviewer. You know, not just good, but he was great because he would talk to anybody from, you know, I don't know, the kid with the big tooth on a Parenthood to Louis Farrakhan or Dustin Hoffman. He could talk to all those people, and it makes sense. You know, Charlamagne is an excellent interviewer when he's not being interrupted by the other two hosts. Well, it's only just one host now, I think.
It's just him and Envy for now. They're rotating.
Like I was so glad when they got a chance to sit and talk to Arsenio Hall about that trash Coming to America sequel. But like when they actually, it wasn't Angela Yee and Envy weren't there. It was just him and Charlamagne. That was excellent content. You know, there are a lot of people who, like Larry King, like he wasn't a great interviewer. I mean, I know it sounds crazy because he did it for so long. You know, it was partially his personality that made it better than it really was because he was wildly unprepared a lot of times.
It worked.
But it worked. You know, so everyone has to find
part of the allure of that.
Yeah.
Good point.
Like if you know.
Good point.
Because there was one time like he was interviewing like Jerry Seinfeld and said, Jerry was like, do you know what you're even talking about? Now, I think there was a little bit of familiarity there, which made it funnier. But it was basically kind of exposed, like the fact that Larry would just have people on and talk to him and wouldn't be particularly prepared.
Shout out to Ed Bradley. People like that were great at what
Well, this
they
is
did.
What they actually did. Yeah. Like, this is what now, there's also a difference because someone like Ed Bradley is a trained journalist.
Oh, 100%.
You know.
Got that media training.
It's different. Know, and there are people who, you know, they become good at this just through repetition. And there are some people who actually come from that school of actually trying to do, you know, Ed, you know, like I said, Ed Bradley didn't get on 60 Minutes by accident. You know, this dude was a war journalist.
Well, I'm going to agree to disagree on Vlad. I think he's a trash interviewer because he talks about him. He talks,
if there's something that applies to him, yes. But like when he's talking to Smokey Robinson, like I said, I'd say watch the interview with Smokey Robinson.
If there's 5 minutes in the clip.
Because those stories from old Motown are fantastic.
If there's 5 minutes in the clip, he's talking about himself for three of them. That's trash to me.
I've never seen that.
He doesn't do that at all. He does that all the time.
Not if he's talking to, no.
He'll be like, well, you know, I think. I didn't come here for that. I came to hear XYZ talk. I don't care what you think.
He does that with maybe like Boosie because it's like
it's a couple friends talking.
But like,
nah, he's trash.
But when he's talking to like Grant Cardone or like when he's talking to what's the guy who was like the when he sat down and talked to Sammy the Bull? No, he was not doing that.
He didn't use his black accent with Sammy the Bull either.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Just say you don't like Vlad, man.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a lot easier to say.
It's noted. Yeah, I don't.
No, like,
I don't.
From someone
so who. Everybody following along at home, this is what. This is actually what you would consider hating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not just talking about stuff.
Now, we dreaded talking about. Well, not dreaded, but decided to pass on Grammy nominations. We said, we'll just wait till everything is over. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Well, everything is over.
Did we say we're gonna actually talk about them? I thought we were just gonna skip them this year.
Well, no, I mean,
got some votes. The Discord said, "Yeah, I got votes in Discord." Alone, so I'm just saying.
So you antagonized the votes.
I did not antagonize the votes
by putting it on there. It's more about an option.
It's more about the 50th versus the actual.
It's all good.
You know what I'm saying? It just was some moments, right?
It makes sense for us to talk about it.
Yeah, you know. But normally, you know, we used to do the nominations and got to a point where it was like, nah. But the 50th anniversary performance, did everybody get a chance to?
No.
Of course you didn't.
I knew you.
I don't care.
Jay Moore, did you get a chance?
That was actually something I wanted to see, so I absolutely watched it.
I watched it.
I don't care about live performances, though. So.
This was a little different. Yeah. It hit a lot different, too.
I think you'd have liked
this.
As far
as the Grammys is concerned.
Yeah, I think you'd like this. I don't think so.
No. I mean, it's cool. I'm not saying don't watch it and don't enjoy it. I'm just saying that me personally, I'm not going to enjoy
it. He may not have enjoyed it as much, too, because he wasn't that into a lot of the early hip-hop that was actually being praised.
Look, that's fair. There could be Little Brother and Outkast and Prince on stage, and I wouldn't care. So, I mean, I don't have an inkling. In their own way, Little Brother was on stage
with the, you know, because
they had the names up there.
Of all the legendary hip-hop
artists. I actually thought that was dope.
It wouldn't do anything for me, personally.
No, I.
What you think, Jay Moore? Since Lone doesn't care.
It's funny at the beginning of the performance. You know, LL Cool J had to have kind of the disclaimers, like, "Look, we couldn't get everybody here, but you know, we're gonna do our thing." I appreciated it, you know, because I've been critical of the Grammys basically every year that we've been doing this show, because you know, for hip hop to be the number one streaming genre of music worldwide and for them to always have that as a pre-show category, they got it right because they actually presented hip hop, you know, album of the year, whatever, during the show. So it was cool to see Kendrick get up there and give an acceptance speech. Then, you know, I love seeing the celebration of the 50th anniversary. You know, because, you know, they brought people and it all made sense, you know, from the old
tons
to the
of
new.
Names, tons of names.
You know, the only thing that I felt that should have, you know, because everybody's like, you know, he said JJ Fan, they should have been there. So and so Willie D should have been. I get that. The only person who I think was not there, and I've heard since I put this opinion out there, I thought Will Smith should have been there.
Yeah, he denied, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They shooting Bad Boy Bad
Boys.
He stepped down, declined, is what I meant.
The only reason, you know, because he was the first person, him and Jazzy Jeff were the first
to win a Grammy,
and they led the whole thing about boycotting that Grammy for not televising the, you know, so that would have been a nice nod to history and a good and a make good, if you will.
Jeff was there though.
Jeff was there. Jeff, so shout out to him. I thought, like I said, I thought it was fantastic. Move from the old to the new. I love seeing all, you know, because everyone gets such a rap as far as like the old rappers hating on the new kids who figured it out. Young rappers who don't know who, you know, Melly Mel is, or don't know who, what,
or Robert Glasper, or,
well,
man,
we'll get to that.
Don't
we'll
even get
that.
Me started on that,
but,
sorry,
you know, when you talk about, you know, the fact that you could get all these people together and maybe they could have conversations, be like, oh well, this, that, because we play generations against each other so much in hip-hop, and I think it's kind of played that we do that. You know, if someone doesn't know something, instead of us jumping down their throats and being all mad at them, be like, all right, young buck, let's put you up on, you know, this, as opposed to being like, how is it you've never listened to Only
Well,
Bill?
No, it depends on how they respond to when they respond to, well, I ain't really trying to hear all that mess. Then that's when you check them for that.
True. But, you know, it was.
I like that.
You know, in some of the other pictures, it was cool to see, you know, Glorilla, you know, with Salt and Pepper, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like to see those moments, you know, because even if you don't know, you're standing on the shoulders of certain people. Like, look, I imagine there were some people in Middle America, and I say Middle America, like
Middle Earth,
not in Middle America.
See,
but just think about it. They're like, well, wait a minute, what is, you know, what's the dude from CSI and the dude from SVU doing on stage rapping?
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Why are all these cops on stage?
Jay Moore's favorite rapper.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's right. Shout out to Ice-T right there back at the Grammys.
What you think, man?
But I thought it was a good look.
What you think, J-Div, what you think about the, you know, overall performance, pros, cons, anything that stuck out to you?
I thought it was dope, man, from the beginning almost to the end. It was really dope. The energy was hype. It almost was nostalgic in a like you was watching the episode of Yo MTV Raps or Rap City the Basement from back in the day, because it was all of those mainstream artists that were putting on back then. And what was crazy is it still sounded fresh. Like everything that they played or whatever they performed, it sounded really good. And I hate to even do this, but Lil Baby, who I actually like and respect, mm-hmm. but it seems like when his part came on, it kind of deflated the whole performance.
Sucked the whole energy out.
Because everything was real hype, and it maybe just he picked the wrong song. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was one I was like, you could have picked something else.
And then he did like a extra verse or two. Well, not extra verse. It's like his bars went on longer than a lot of people's. So that kind of deflated it, and then Glorilla's energy kind of brought it back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then they ended it with Uzi Vert, with the new Philly anthem, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that song doesn't even have any lyrics, but, I mean, that's neither here nor there. It's hip-hop, essentially. So it showed where it started at as far as
Kaz and the Grandmaster.
Melly Mel.
All the way up into the present day. And, of course, a lot of people were not there. But, I mean,
but they had the
these people represent you. Essentially, yeah. You know
every
what I'm
era was represented. Method Man was there.
Exactly. I mean, you know when like, you talk about Willie D was upset that he wasn't included. I mean, Scarface did Minds Playing Tricks, which is a Ghetto Boy
which
song.
Is a ghetto. So now people are going to be interested in that song and your streams is going
right.
up.
So I don't understand that. JJ Fad said they were mad because they were actually nominated during the first time when Will Smith won.
Yeah, but you know, if you have to pick, okay, we're gonna have JJ Fad or Salt and Pepper.
Come on, man.
We picking Salt and Pepper.
We picking Queen Latifah. And I mean, JJ Fad, you had one song. I mean, you had an album too, but I mean you had an era that was very short lived to the point where a lot of people don't know who you are.
I don't know who that is.
Exactly. Like I still have their record at home. But
it was actually the first hit on Ruthless Records.
Yeah. I've heard the name, but I've never heard any music.
Trust me, you're fine.
But you know what's crazy? Fine. I, you know, seeing an interview with them on DJ Vlad. when the Sonic the Hedgehog movie came out and they used that song in like the trailer and in part of the movie,
probably put them back
they
on.
Got a nice check.
That's good for them.
Because, oh, they definitely
they
got
probably because, been waiting for a long time for a check.
Because
like
you
that.
Know what? They own their music. They own that song.
That's good.
So
I mean, they
shout
had,
out to them. You know,
it was They got a list here of the performers. Like,
I was happy to see Salt and Pepper had Spinderella on stage with
them. Because they be playing her Spinderella.
Yeah.
When they put out the Salt and Pepper Funko Pops, they didn't give Spinderella no Funko Pops.
That's not it.
That's sad.
Like seeing Flav and Chuck was dope.
That was really dope. That took me all the way back to the Do the Right Thing movie.
Yeah.
When I seen them performing.
Yeah, like y'all.
And like they didn't miss a beat. Flav looked the exact same as he looked back then.
Yo, as soon as he came out, I was like,
moves and stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. Everything was the same. Like it 100% took me back. Seeing Rakim is always dope. Run, you know, like all
LL
of that.
Cool
bro.
J ain't missed a beat.
Nope. Didn't miss a beat. And it was dope seeing Jay-Z standing up, getting hype, watching all of this happen.
Then corny ass DJ Khaled up there trying to be all in the shot, holding up a lighter. I was like, if you don't sit down.
I wanted to ask y'all what y'all thought about the God did Last Supper performance.
You know what? I didn't even, of all things, I didn't even watch that part.
I saw that.
I didn't even watch that
part. I enjoyed that just because.
I think Khaled still found a way to make it corny.
He finds a way to make everything corny.
Okay, at least you agree with me on that.
Hey, man, look, to see Jay-Z sit down there and rap for that's like the only 32 part I seen. Bars. Like,
that's
you
the
know,
only part I seen was Jay-Z's verse.
Yeah, that was I mean, and that just, that's why he's him. You know what I'm saying?
Khaled was super corny during this whole performance until Hov got there. And then Hov was like, Hov brought it on home with the however many minutes it is. But Khaled was super corny.
It wasn't a backing track.
It
was him rhyming the entire time.
That's impressive to sit there and just rap that long sitting down at the table. I gotta give it up to him on that. But Khaled
still give J. Cole verse of the year.
For last year,
yeah.
Which record?
Benny.
Oh, yeah.
That's verse of the year.
I'm not mad at that.
Verse of the year.
Jay's verse is hard, but the how extended it is, I think, is more of the.
Yeah, that's what got people into it.
Yeah, but potency, J. Cole got off. You know, from a verse.
Somebody actually
standpoint.
Broke that verse down, and it's deeper than what you even think.
J. Cole's verse?
Man, that is stupid.
Oh, it's levels to it.
It's crazy.
Okay.
Let me ask you this question.
Yep.
So with this, is this the redemption story for the Grammys and hip hop?
Hell no.
Honestly,
this was just a nod because I mean
this is the night they got it right.
It's 50.
You know they've done so many things wrong.
Yeah.
You know this is just you know they televised you know the category. They had the celebration of the 50th anniversary, and Jay-Z essentially closed the show.
Yeah. I mean, they had
They're going
to
mess
this
it.
This was blatantly done to get back into...
Because if it was 5 years ago, they'd have found a way to give Jack Harlow Album of the Year.
Yeah.
I'm sitting over here, and obviously you guys enjoyed it, but I didn't watch it. And I think me specifically, I don't want to say I hold grudges necessarily. But I find a way to remove stuff from my life when it doesn't serve me or I feel like it hasn't served me anymore. And I just stop paying attention to stuff. I did it with football. I don't know. To me, it seems like you said, they're trying to get back in the good graces. And do we see a path for the Grammys to actually be what it may potentially have felt like in the past? Or
as it relates to hip hop,
I think they missed the boat because too many people don't put as much stock in the Grammys anymore based on what they pick and choose to praise at certain times. Like just now televising hip hop awards still, because a lot of those hip hop awards, even more recently, are given out before it airs. Like you'll see some of them
right
during the show, but a lot of them are actually given out before it actually airs. And I think it's too far gone at this point. Because a lot of people don't care anymore. And even artists don't even show up.
But like, to play White Devil's Advocate, you know, they don't televise the rock, you know, categories. You know, it's a TV show where honestly the actual televising the of the winners is an afterthought to getting in the performances and make it. Once again, a television product is about selling ads and about making sure whatever they do is profitable, you know. And if it's not profitable to show best traditional country vocal
ballad,
they're not going to televise it. Now that was my argument with not showing the hip hop category, because if anything would be profitable for you, it would be to televise the hip hop Grammy.
That's the contradiction.
That's why, you know, that's where, you know, it'd be one thing if you know, hip hop was had fallen to like ninth, but we're hip hop is ahead of country.
Hip hop is beyond the most profitable.
Hip hop is ahead of country, ahead of hard rock, traditional hard rock, whatever you would call alternative right now. Hip hop beats all of those categories. And unfortunately, when we talk about the consumerism part of music, it all boils down to what streams. And if you're looking at what streams is hip hop and whatever Bad Bunny category it fits into.
Long talk.
You cannot, if you gonna give, if it's something that Bad Bunny is nominated for, you better put it on TV.
Long, you talked about holding grudges. It's like some of that creeps in when you think about why would you not televise your most profitable genre?
I don't. Like what, well, I don't even look at it from a profit motive necessarily. I mean,
I'm just saying, how do you justify not?
The board is more conservative than people give it credit for. They like to say everything is all liberal this, liberal that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more conservative than y'all want to give it credit for. That.
Well, it's capitalist, is what it is.
There it is.
But like there how, it is. Because people are like, well, how would people in Iowa feel about seeing Kendrick Lamar make a speech? Yeah. You know, as opposed to like, well, in this category, we've got Taylor Swift, and she could come up and make a speech. You know, those are the conversations that are had.
You ever driven through Iowa?
I can't say that I have.
Me either. Yeah.
A lot of for flat what? Land and corn, yeah,
there's
and
nothing
stuff.
For, nothing against Iowa.
I've been through there.
They've had some good football teams. Yeah.
Oh, guys.
You know, Big Ten participant, but.
A lot of flat land out there.
I would like, say
you ain't got business out in Iowa. You just don't be going.
I would just say that in general, I look at this situation, and it's more so. It's not that there's not like a way back, like a redemption way back. It's more just so that I don't forget.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that you guys do either. But when I look at this, I really just kind of see it as a way to profit off of the 50th year of hip hop. And is there some other entity that could have done it? You know that. I don't even know if there is.
I mean,
such
it's
an
gonna be.
That,
I mean, the BET Awards are gonna come on in the summertime, whatever. I'm sure they'll do it. I'm sure the Soul Train Awards will do it.
Yeah.
Has Billboard already came on?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
That's the thing about the Billboard Awards. That's all metrics. Billboard, American Music Awards, and whatever the iHeart Awards are. Those are all metrics. It has nothing to do with artistic.
And I'm not even necessarily
credibility.
Not even necessarily saying it would have to be like an award show necessarily. I'm thinking like. Thinking LL Cool J with, you know,
on a tour or something.
Yeah,
well, I know somebody's trying to put together a tour to come here.
Well,
I
they
know
did something
much.
With that with the Last Rock the Bells.
I don't necessarily mean like a tour. I just mean like, I mean it could be a tour, I guess, but I just mean like some sort of entity that is like literally like in hip hop is putting it together, and it's like
looking for us to celebrate each other as opposed to having them celebrate us.
Yeah,
and pretend
yeah.
Like they
it's
care.
Like they're like it's the Grammys haven't supported it for so long, so the fact that their name is attached to this celebration just kind of sits funny with me. I guess.
No, I mean, it's definitely a grab. It's almost it's hip hop through a lot by being the 50th anniversary. Like they had to try to slam dunk that. It was definitely a grab. Like, we have to do this.
No, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? And then
it was done very well, too. Like, how they chopped it up and moved on to each act.
And that portion I can appreciate, at least. You know what I mean? I mean, I watch it, but I can appreciate that.
Yeah, like, it was done well, to Terry's point. Like, it's not, I don't have anything I can really pick apart to say, well, they didn't do it justice here.
I
want to
say Questlove is who actually.
He was the curator.
Yeah, curator behind everything.
I thought it was dope that he put out the part, like we said about Will Smith, like he put it out there early because he knew people was asking.
I mean, he's
about
Philly,
Will,
you know.
Yeah,
he tried to include.
Yeah, because summertime would have hit perfect in that set.
Brand new funk would have hit.
Or brand new funk,
that's what would have hit in that set.
Definitely.
I feel like they're in a place. There's enough people a part of the Grammys to some degree that they legitimately are trying to just like fix it and moving forward. Yeah. You know?
No, I don't think because they really don't want another. What was the kid's name? The B. Kendrick,
Macklemore.
They don't want, and you know, nothing against Macklemore. I think he's got a joint right now with Premier that I very much enjoy.
New album coming out.
Yeah, and it's just like he just caught
a stray.
He caught a stray.
He caught a stray, and it really kind of messed up his career. Honestly,
yeah,
because it's not like
on the low.
The backlash from that affected him more than it affected Kendrick.
Right.
Well, negatively. It pushed Kendrick up higher.
And it's not even like Macklemore's album was bad.
Right.
No.
It just wasn't Good Kid, Mad City.
Yeah. It wasn't one of the best albums that has ever been released.
I mean, he said that. He said, nah, I shouldn't have wanted that. This one should have been to Kendrick. I saw him. Like,
no, he did. But, you know, at the same time, that, and once again, he wasn't one of the voters. It wasn't his fault.
It ain't got nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
It actually would have been a very good look, I think, personally, if Fresh Prince or Will Smith had been able to do that performance. It actually might have helped his career a little bit right now. Not saying that he needs help, but to be seen in a brighter light, positive, so to speak, light. Positive light.
That's why I
think that would have been.
As long as Jada wasn't there to mess it up. You know,
you know, she would have had her ass there.
Yeah, you know.
I wish
everything would have been so much better if he'd have just left his bum ass wife at home.
Hey. I wish he could.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indie CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, we are back. Shout out to our partners as always. NBA Youngboy regrets his violent lyrics and says he's going to convert into Mormon. How do I say that?
Mormonism.
Thank you. Mormonism.
He just wants concubines.
Or. Okay, so
they don't do that anymore.
I know you're on house. I think I house arrest in Utah.
There's a whole TV show about it.
No, we're not talking about Warren Jeffs. We're talking
about. Jay Moore.
Yes.
Now, usually we want the younger generation to have self-awareness. Try to make changes if they can. It's good to see growth. Fair?
Fair. No, very much so.
Okay. So when you saw this headline about him actually in an interview sounding like he was very remorseful for his lyrics, and he talks about who knows what kid, how many kids have been riding around in the car listening to my music, what type of things they may have done based off my influence. What do you think about this, man? Like, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when NBA Youngboy says, this is his new path since he's been out in Utah? Honest opinion.
Good for him.
Okay.
Good for him. You know what? There are so many people, like, I don't know how old this kid is.
He can't be more than.
He's a young boy.
Yeah. Well, that too.
I like that. I like that.
You know, but sometimes
he's not an island
there are people
boy,
that they don't get it until they're like my age. Like,
yeah.
And then they'd be like, maybe I shouldn't have done all that. And,
yeah.
And they're not at the top of their game. Like, whether you're aware of, you know, if you're aware of it, NBA Youngboy and the numbers he does with the content that he makes, you know, this is somebody who definitely should have been an industry, but he probably can't go because of the law.
Bam's influence is huge.
You know, but then again, once again, I go back to an argument that I had, not really an argument, but just a statement I made several episodes ago, is that the streets, when you try to tell them and give them some advice, they don't care. Like, NBA Youngboy could have, it's not going to change anybody's life, because they'd be like, good for NBA Youngboy. I'm still going to get out here and sell dope and carry guns illegal and do what I got to do.
Hold on. So you don't think, based off, I'm just taking into consideration this kid being one of the biggest artists in the world, his impact and his influence, you don't think there are, I'm not saying an abundance, I'm saying you don't think this might have enough impact on someone to possibly point them in a different direction?
Maybe one or two, but I just
think. One or two?
I think the majority of people who, you know, they'll move on to somebody else negative if NBA, you know.
You might be right.
It's kind of like.
Maybe that's wishful thinking for me.
It's kind of like when you talk about the dope game. You know, look, I'm gonna sell this crack because if I don't sell it to them, they're gonna get it from somebody else. So
we've heard that logic.
I mean, once again, good for him as an individual. I don't think it'll have this widespread effect on the culture and the people who drive his YouTube numbers up. I don't think they're gonna care. It's not like they're gonna be like, let me look more into this Mormonism.
There's Mormon people that have been visiting him. I'm reading from the article. He said it makes his heart be in the right place when he has the visitors to come over and people talk. And he's starting to read and do, you know, research.
I used to not want black people to be Mormons.
Yeah,
this is true. This is true. Saying, it's kind
got
of
me,
a
got
you
got
know,
me there.
You know,
you got me there.
Do your research.
Yeah, there's some interesting history behind that, but
that's for another day.
That's for another
what
day.
What you think on face value, though, Terry, when you see this from NBA Youngboy?
I mean, it's good for him as far as growth is concerned.
Agree.
I agree with Jay Moore as far as his impact is already, the ripple is already done. It's done. You know what I'm saying? So anybody that was going to be influenced by him are already influenced.
Too late.
And it's it's there now.
Okay.
So he can't go back and take back everything that he released. It's already been released.
It's like, oh, now you want to be a Mormon. Yeah. I'm already in jail.
Yeah, it's too late for all that.
So now he's out. You're saying it's what he does from here now moving forward and just leave the rest of, I guess, because what you're saying essentially is the damage has been done.
Damage has been done. I mean, I'm all about self-improvement and working towards yourself.
Right.
If he gets right with whoever his higher power might be, I'm all for it, man. But unfortunately, he may... I guess they say if you save one, you've saved enough. He might save one. Who knows?
I think it's possible.
It's possible. Yeah, I ain't going to just take that away from him and say that it's not going to affect anybody else positively.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if he's feeling like that, I kind of sense that some of these other young cats are feeling like that too. Because the way that they're living and it's almost like you're in a trance.
There are a lot of young people who are looking people for some direction. So.
Exactly, looking for direction. And if you're listening to this... You have to realize this is what's in their headphones 99% of the time. So when you see them out in public, they're listening to this stuff. So it's essentially zombifying them to a point where they need to snap out of it anyway. And I'm not saying that that's all young kids, but there's a good majority of them that live like that. So I ain't going to take anything away from him. I think it's actually pretty cool that he's doing that.
But what if, okay, you know, the whole argument, if I save one person, it makes this change. But what if you already sent 10,000 people to jail?
Yeah.
Or you sent a percentage of those to the graveyard because they were listening to your music. Is one person really enough?
But that's not a thing. That's not a thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think so either. But I think, you know, when we talk about the arguments people are going to have.
No, for sure.
Go ahead, Alon.
I know we're kind of being hypothetical and everything about this. I mean, first off, good for him if that's good for him.
We all, I think we all in agreement on that.
It's good for him if it's good for him. Everything else, as far as like, I think we're giving him too much credit for his influence. I think you can influence individuals, but when we talk about is he going to influence people to go out and commit crime, I don't put that on individuals. I put that on society.
Oh,
I put that on people personally, but there can be a battery put in their back to help assist in it.
But at the end,
I never believed that.
I don't know. I do.
I believe that.
I grew up in an environment where I could have went either way.
What
I'm saying? But I decided not to do that. But there was other people that did decide to go down those particular paths because they were already in a situation to where they were participating in such things. And this may have been essentially the theme music to help them pursue a lot of other shit too. Excuse my language,
I get that. I get that. But what I'm saying is even with what you're saying there, you're saying it's the battery in the back. It's not like, it's not the entire embodiment of that's going to push it out. Right. So when we talk about like, you know, do I look at, you know, he can make less violent music, less stuff that is less. Is he going to have some sort of impact either way he goes? Yes, because he's a big artist, and
that's his reach is what I'm talking about.
But still, no, is my answer is no. Like sure, but I'm going to have an impact with just what I say right now to some random person too. You know,
true.
But it's not the same impact as what society does. And so, when we compare those two things, it's like we're talking like minuscule in comparison to like the situations that people are put into to where there's even necessary to have a back to put a battery into.
If we have an educational system that actually is trying to do its best by even our most impoverished children, there's nowhere to even put the battery. If we have a situation where, you know, people can eat or they're not going to bed hungry or they're not influenced by the cartoonist materialism that is pushed upon us by a capitalist society, then there's no battery to put in anybody's
battery.
That's
true. But in the same token, society set people up and these individuals don't care. So if I'm being raised by people that don't care, naturally, I don't care either. I mean, of course, the root problem is society, but at the end, it's a trickle down effect. It's a butterfly effect. So it starts up there, of course. That's the root of the problem. But then when it falls down to a bunch of people that just don't care, and then I don't care because my parents don't care about me, and then I have theme music too, You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that this is making them do that. They were going to do it regardless. Mm-hmm. But like I said, this is just the energy. Like, people might take a drug or something, not have anything to do with music, and the drug helps influence them to go through what they're going to do because it gave them that extra courage, so to speak, or that extra I don't care moment.
I've never subscribed to rap being the 100% quote unquote reason for.
No, it's not even just rap.
I'm talking about just, we're talking about music. Forget rap. I'm talking about just music in general as it relates to NBA YoungBoy. I'd be foolish to say I'm going to put that all on him based off his music for all of this bad stuff that's going on.
Nah, I don't buy that.
But in the same token, I also do believe that there is a small portion, if it's small as it relates to society, where the music can be an influence to help go that direction. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying on a pie chart it might be smaller, Lone, is what I'm saying. But to just say that it doesn't exist, I don't agree with
my
that.
My argument is that it is so minuscule as part of an impact as opposed to what society actually puts out there. And I don't even mean from like an individualist. I kind of do. Like, individuals can only do so much.
Right.
So my argument to that would be, well, if NBA YoungBoy had straight positive music,
mm-hmm.
if the society is still the same,
mm-hmm.
the people that are in those same situations that are going to be influenced by NBA YoungBoy, they are still going to be influenced by other artists or other things.
Yeah, because they're
going
to find what they want to be influenced by.
It's also a situation to where, you know, these people are also going to be hungry and they're going to find a way to eat regardless. And if knocking somebody in the head or selling dope is going to keep them from being going to bed hungry, that has nothing to do with music. It's about how society is rich. Everybody talks about how America is the greatest country in the world, and like, we have enough money to do anything. We have enough money to do anything, and we still won't do anything about people being unhoused, about people being underfed or not fed at all. We won't do anything about those problems. That's the issue to me. Not these, you know, because, okay, here's something that is brought up every like 6 months by somebody who's extra woke online. It's like there was a secret meeting between like the private prison industrial complex.
Yeah, I don't know. That's really not.
But the thing is, this is the wild thing. It was like, well, because it was all to trap black youth and get them to go into the prisons. It's like, who buys all the rap music? Who buys the posters, the T-shirts, and who are the largest consumers of this actual music?
That's true, but they're not
music?
In that environment.
Exactly. So if you take the music away, they're not going to prison, and there are kids who are stuck in those circumstances who are going to prison because they're pushed to a level of desperation because of a lack of resources.
That's true, but in the same token, the people that aren't influenced by it, who aren't in those environments, don't have to be influenced by it because they can't relate like that. They're listening to it because it's essentially like watching a movie. They want to know about what's going on, where you're from, and why that happens to you, and why this is your soundtrack. And I like it too because it sounds good to me, but I don't live this.
That's a good
point. You actually live this, and you have to see the correlation as far as influence is concerned, because somebody that may be on the fence about doing something, essentially, and let's say you're listening to NBA YoungBoy and not Kendrick, you know what I'm saying? Somebody that's telling you a story about why not to do it versus somebody telling you a story about this is why you should do it, because you need to get to the bag. You got to do this. You got to provide for your family. So this is the only way to do it.
Right.
Versus somebody giving you an example of this is why you shouldn't do it and figure out another way to get to the bag. Yeah. It's all influence at the end of the day. It's sure. Just the level of influence that's, you know what I'm saying, sponged up by whoever's listening to it, I guess.
And I think the thing that we're hitting on is because we're agreeing, but I understand what you're saying, Lone, as it relates to, I'm looking at it in my mind, I'm looking at it like a pie chart, right? You said minuscule.
Well,
right?
I look at it as micro and macro.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So there's the bigger picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then there's the smaller portions that go into it. Oops, excuse me. But even if we're talking about from a pie chart standpoint, I think when we talk about influence specifically,
uh-huh.
it's, I don't know. I'll let you continue.
No, you're fine. It's just, I think we're all sitting on the same thing. It's just, I understand what Terry's saying from an influence standpoint as it relates to the circumstance on top of throwing the music on top of the circumstances. I get what he's saying when he's saying there, but I also understand what you mean, because the bigger picture is the community, how it's set up, the conditions, all that type of stuff. So I get that. Like, I think we're all in the same area. It's just different sizes.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
But I totally get what you're saying. I understand.
Yeah, this is stuff that I talk about pretty, or think about pretty regularly in general. And you know, it's... You know, I think in our society in general, we tend to hyper focus on the individual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really trolling here, but it really is a capitalist type of idea.
Yeah.
To hyper individualize, to think, oh man, all we have to do is just, you know, that's why we're super.
That's the thing. That's not all you have to do to correct it. You know, there's many pieces to that puzzle, and that's a small piece. You know, you're putting together a big picture.
Right.
You have this small piece that's still a piece of the puzzle that completes the whole, you know what I'm saying, picture for this specific person or community or people, so to speak. But at the end of the day, the bigger piece, like you said, is capitalism and society and all of those things. But it's all a part of the same puzzle.
There's so many conversations that can be had about... And I want to make sure we try to, we're going to bring back our, you know, our
keep
list,
going.
But I don't want to lose my train of thought. But there's so many levels of conversation that can be had to what you're talking about, Lone, from a community standpoint, that sometimes when you talk about individualizing, I agree with you, because it's easier to go that route than to address the root cause in the community level of things. We don't hear that as often. It's like, with hip hop has been looked at as a crutch to me. It's like, we'll just throw it on hip hop. Everything that happens, and you see these young kids out here wilding out, we're just going to throw it on hip hop. They just listen to hip hop. You can't do that. That's unfair. Yeah. To your point, because there's so much more. That's lazy. Blaming everything on hip hop is lazy. 100%.
But I don't even necessarily think it's lazy. I think it's just indoctrination. I think that
too.
I think we're all just predisposed in a way to kind of look at, like, America has done this to look at Black rappers in general, specifically what we're talking about, especially if they are violent music, to say, oh man, this is the problem with America. But in the same sense,
they pretty much want you to fault yourself at the end of the day.
But in the same sense, those same people that are saying that are intentionally involved in propagating or propagandizing
and profiting,
propagandizing the system that goes against that, what would actually fix it, which is like improving material conditions around, you know, to where this music, again, this music is a product of what is going on. It's not the other way around.
The same people that you're talking about, to your point, are actually helping generate more of the
music.
Which
goes to Jay Moore's point, right?
Right.
Exactly what he was talking about. And what Terry was saying about sometimes the people that are even listening to this music, they just like the stories because it's not what they're used to.
He said
So the influence that, like, if NBA YoungBoy influences them, he might influence somebody in some weird way. But I feel
you say Malibu's Most Wanted.
No, for sure.
Tough.
I'm just saying.
But, tough.
And I don't think you can remove the fact that it does affect individuals. There is influence there. And of course, we would all want everything to be positive and all that other stuff. But I feel like bringing that up at all is inherently distracting completely to bigger point. And it gives a credibility that but it's like it makes it seem like there's another conversation to be had when even though it's a part of it, the conversation is around make the situation better. It's not about focus on the individual. So
Art, like the art, is a background conversation to the actual societal problems that no one seems to want to stop. You know, like, it's, look, I know you guys are old enough to remember C. Dolores Tucker.
Oh yeah.
And Reverend Calvin Butts. They've both gone on to be with the ancestors. So God bless them, because you know what, they meant well. But the thing is, in their minds, if I get on TV and talk bad enough about these youngsters, tell them to pull the pants up and stop calling women B's and H's. I'm trying to censor myself here.
Good job.
All the problems are going to go away, and all of a sudden we're going to be living in Wakanda. And it's like, no, because you're on TV with the same politicians who, you know, filled the community with with drugs and guns and underfunded our schools and drew property lines and were there for redlining. You know, let's
but
solve.
He wasn't against the rap and he wasn't against the rapper.
But solve. But he was those against problems. Those thugs. Solve those problems. You could don't come to me talking about who's a thug and somebody right. needs to pull their pants up when you know our school system is still funded by the tax base of the people who live in the neighborhood, and you took all the resources away for those people to be able to buy homes.
Well, that's
and
what
to
happens.
Create a no, tax base.
That's what happens the when people move out of the hood and want to act all uppity and act like that they weren't a part of that and don't know what the actual problem is. But again, it still is influential to certain.
But
people.
that's even still part of the indoctrination even further yeah. because people, and this isn't even necessarily just a black thing. Poor people feel the same way.
Yeah.
When poor people move out of the certain situations and they get a little bit of money and then they get into maybe a different neighborhood.
Yeah. They want to start acting brand new.
Exactly. So it's and again, it goes right back to the same type of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I've had that conversation with my father and like some of the people who are of his generation who they were that first generation to really be able to, you know, go to college, you know, find a way into corporate America. And, you know, they were sold as like, okay, now you can live wherever you want.
Right.
And the thing is, like, what happened is they didn't realize, you know, they thought, okay, we're going to have a better life for our children. And it wasn't about moving away from people that look like them. It was just like, okay, well, we can afford to do this, so let's do this.
Yeah.
And what happened is, you know, when you deindustrialized the United States of America, what you did is like, it was a double whammy at the same time, because those blue collar workers who could still create, you know, a certain level of comfort and wealth for the family, maybe they couldn't move them to the suburbs or out to the newer communities, but they were still working people. So the people who could afford to leave, they left. And then the people who would still be the tax base of said communities, those blue collar jobs were taken away or sent overseas or just completely
or the family was broken up.
You know, yeah. And then you drop the crack bomb. You know, I think about, you know, when going back to the neighborhood where my dad grew up, and we would go see my grandmother. And, you know, I remember me and my sister would walk around the neighborhood. You know, we'd spend weekends or weeks there. And I just remember it was, you know, it wasn't the community that we were being raised in, and it was all black folks, but it was still a place where you'd see kids playing, you see people riding their bikes, and it was all. And then in maybe like a year, when crack, like I said, I called a crack bomb because that's what it was. It was like, okay, they keep stealing my aunt's car from in front of the house. You know, my grandmother has to put bars on the windows. Like, and all that was deliberately done. I believe if I'm a conspiracy person on anything, it is about the proliferation of drugs in the black community in the 1980s. I believe that's what happened.
Yeah. Reaganomics.
Exactly what happened.
Even before that happened,
they
there
put
was
those drugs
and issues
in the black
in the
community deliberately, and you can't tell me any different.
Ah, they absolutely did. But even before that, there was still issues and problems in the neighborhoods based on, what are we still talking about today? Policing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So Black Panthers were pretty much made, gangs were made essentially to help police their own
neighborhoods or whatnot. Communities. Yep.
And essentially formed into something else later down the line once crack hit, because that was a form of income because they didn't have jobs.
Right. Yep. All right, man, I think we got it.
Circle of life.
Let's end it there.
In a messed up way, yes, it's very much a circle.
All right, man, we appreciate the support. Shout out to the chat. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe, sign up, share it, whatever you need to do. We appreciate the support as always. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace. Yeah.